B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Do not bring Brady up anymore. Do not bring Brady up anymore.
Hold on. Go ahead, Jim. Brady. Brady's still playing. Brady's still playing, Bob. Brady's still alive.
You better pray he doesn't win another one. Oh.
Brady is 5-0 in the playoffs with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've scored 30 points every game. Bob, say it with me.
Can I get a word?
Brady. 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 Brady.
But hold on.
Brady.
Felger, Brady. What I mean by that is...
Not a proud moment on Felger and Mez. That's us at our most obnoxious.
And that's a clip when people are like, when you get those emails like, I hate you guys, I'm not listening anymore. Like, that's a clip where I'm like, I kind of get it.
Yeah, I get it.
Oh, no, I totally get it. I get it 100%.
I get it. Not a proud moment. Say it with me.
Can I get a word?
Brady. 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 Brady.
But hold on.
Brady.
The way Murray laughed at him too when he first said it.
Brady. 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 Brady.
Not bring Brady up anymore.
Hold on. Go ahead, Jim.
But don't. I mean, I'm with Murray. Don't let him win this week.
Oh, boy.
There's another week of we trying to figure out what the hell the Patriots doing.
But hold on.
Brady.
Meanwhile, he's still playing.
This is the week where it goes to another level, too. This is the week. Because it's division week. Now you show up on Monday, and he's in the NFC Championship game. This is where it happened last year. They beat Washington in the first round. Crap opponent. Big deal. Let's see what happens. Then they go to New Orleans and win, and it's like, uh-oh. Seen this before. Yeah, I've seen this one before, Felger. He comes in on Monday, and he's in the NFC Championship game, let alone if Green Bay loses. Then he's hosting the NFC Championship game.
Against a kid that he's going to eat for lunch. The stories are legendary that year that Brady was suspended, and they had to give Garoppolo reps during training camp. I wish Gasper was still on. We talked about it. They had a scrimmage that camp, and... Brady like lost his mind, and
Chris has talked about this. Yeah,
go ahead.
That Brady handled it like it was the Super Bowl, and any it was like out of his mind about it. And any reps, it made sure like Garoppolo got like no reps. like this is my team. Don't you even think of coming near it? Like that kind of thing.
I mean, so competitive, and now it's like this thing's back in his face.
I so badly want that game.
No, you don't.
Oh, yes, I do.
He'll destroy him.
I don't care.
He'll destroy.
I'll take
him.
It. I'll take it.
For the narrative alone, yeah, it would be great.
Well, oh my gosh.
For the week leading up, if not for the week after, yeah.
Great. With all due respect to your Packers.
No, I understand.
Brady Garoppolo in the NFC Championship game? How would that be, too?
Well, but you know who kind of wins if that happens?
Belichick.
Bill gets a little win there.
Yes and no.
Yes.
Okay, but just
No. A yes.
Okay, isn't that another kick in the head, though, for Patriots fans who then have to sit there and go... Oh, my God. Now they're both there.
Yeah.
Last year was just Brady. Now I got to show up and watch the NFC Championship game, and Garoppolo's in it, too? Holy crap. Who's going to show up next? Jacoby Brissett?
Well, I think you were talking about this last year, Mike, where, you know, your casual fans are like someone's grandmother watches the Super Bowl, and you're like, wait a minute, wasn't this guy ours?
Yep.
So if that's the NFC Championship, it's, wait, didn't we have both these
yeah,
guys?
That's what the casual fan says.
I remember him.
Yeah.
We had both of these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't we?
Yeah.
How come they're somewhere else again?
I told you that, people like my sister, all due respect, wouldn't know the difference between a football and a cannoli.
Right.
Okay? And she says to me, what happened with Brady and Belichick?
Yeah, they didn't like him. Yeah, but isn't he, like, really, really good? Yeah, he's really, really good. They didn't want him. Oh, what? Like, no one knows. How do you explain it to someone who just is off the spaceship? Like, you can't explain it. Like, isn't he still the best in the league? Yeah, huh?
How come they let him go?
Well, they don't want him. They didn't think he was any good.
And what about, wasn't the other guy supposed to replace him?
Yeah, and then so now what about the other guy? Well, they didn't like him either.
Ooh, that would be a hard game to take.
Oh, you think we're bad this week?
One of them's in the Super Bowl either way if that happens.
Hey, Vay.
And
all right.
If it's Bucks, Bills. Oh, those people. We're finally back. Oh, my God. He's there. What's that record again?
32-3
Yeah, Brady all time. 32-3 head to head against
versus Buffalo.
Yeah, and they're 0-4 all time in the Super Bowl. Imagine that. What a kick in the nuts for the Bills.
This is an agenda free Friday. It's driven by our friends at the Bernardi Auto Group. Catch them at BernardiAutoGroup.com. Back to your phones. Chris in the truck. Go ahead, Chris.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? I had 1 point, but I kind of got two. So I'm with Murray. I watch bad football. I'm up until one in the morning on Thursday night watching something that don't matter. But this year, the 17-game schedule is definitely watered down. But what I really had a problem with was the six-game weekend. There wasn't a good game. I mean, there was one that was all right, but I watched a bunch of it, and it was watered down. It wasn't like you were on your edge of your seat on any of them games. And my second point is, why don't we talk about Josh McDaniels going to Tampa Bay? No one's ever mentioned it, but to me, that's like the perfect fit.
No, a lot of people have mentioned it. Tom and Josh McDaniels don't have as great a relationship as they once did. And I don't think that's I don't think that's what Josh should be looking for, frankly. I mean, even if they've patched things up, because in a year or two, he's going to have to start over at quarterback.
Unless he likes Kyle Trask. But the thing with him and Brady did not end well.
But beyond that, it's like if you want a long-term future, that you don't want to attach yourself to Brady because you got a year or two left. And that's it. And then you got to start over with what, you know? And maybe the owner doesn't want to spend money because he's just spent money with Brady. And so it's like he's better off going to Jacksonville where he could have a 10-year run, 15-year run if he and Lawrence can get it together. The first thing about the games being watered down, no, two of them were down to the wire. The Cincy-Vegas game, Derek Carr was throwing into the end zone with 20 seconds left on the clock to tie the game. That was a competitive game. I mean, it was a train wreck with the officiating. And the Dallas game was also a train wreck, but it was, dramatic. So, and the rest sucked. I don't care. I like the playoff format. I like the extra football. I like the extra weeks. Even if it waters it down, I get some bad games. I don't care.
I mean, the Dallas Niners finish the fourth quarter.
Oh, that was wacky. Yeah, that was
all-timer.
That was wildly entertaining. That was, I mean, for lots of reasons. It wasn't necessarily great football all the time, but it was incredible to watch.
We've got Jack in Lexington. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, guys, and Chris in particular, do you think the Patriots, given the draft over the last 7 or 8 years, given Isaiah Wynn and N'Keal Harry, do you think that they can judge talent well enough to reconstruct this team? Because what's happened over the last 5 years, I've got no confidence in them at all being able to do that. So, what do you guys think about that?
Gasper's gone, but my confidence is middling. It's better. I mean, I think they've turned it around a little bit at the draft. This last draft was good. And there might be a player or two from the last couple of years as well, which is an upgrade over what they've been. So maybe they've turned it around, and my confidence is decent but not high. That's how I would say it.
I don't know how it could be any better than decent.
And Bill has to change his philosophy into very important players, positions rather, going forward. Linebacker, will you not turn your nose up at a small, fast guy that can go sideline to sideline, or wide receiver? If that guy's talented but also an a-hole, take him. For whatever reason, the wide receivers that they've drafted have to be like good guys, and they have to test well and all. Like N'Keal Harry, right? Like was reportedly like tested well and like all got, you know, great check marks from all these other Bobo coaches that he knows. I don't know. Was he the most talented wide receiver you could have taken? Clearly not. When you have guys like Debo Samuel after him,
boy, he gets better every time he takes a field, doesn't he?
He sure does.
I mean,
and he's their kind of guy, versatile. Oh, Bill would have a field day with him where you could put him in the backfield and like all this stuff. He would love him.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're trying to hand the ball off to Jonnu Smith. You know, when you could add Debo Samuel. Like, not that we need to go down that road.
Levi's in Foxborough. Hi, Levi.
Hey guys, how you doing? So real quick, to bring up a point that Murray had earlier about build, like storyline builds and Bucks in the Super Bowl. I have been saying the same exact thing verbatim since Brady went there, and it was likely he was going to go to the Super Bowl. I couldn't have said it better myself. And then with Marcus Smart as well, I'm not going to swear on live radio, but I just don't get it. I don't know why he's still on the team. The casual fan in Boston, they seem to love him, but I guess simultaneously hate winning.
Let me tell you what it is, Levi. People overrate the hustle guy. They love him because you love guys that dive on the floor and, you know, in all sports.
Because that's how most people had to play.
Yeah, the little dirt dog. We gravitate to him. They're great stories. We love those guys. But in so doing, we overinflate their value. And Marcus Smart is like one of the shining examples of it.
a poster boy for
he makes 17, 18 million bucks a year. Like, think about that. Talk about, and look, he's, you know, again, I like him as a role player, but he's one of your centerpiece guys. You're not going anywhere with that.
So, agreed. What was the first thing that he said about the matchup of Brady and Garoppolo? Wait, there is. Look, I've divorced Garoppolo. I'm done with Garoppolo. They're showing the replay of this game right now on Sunday, and right now he's throwing that insanely bad interception in the fourth quarter.
It was a horrible interception.
I mean, he just completely crapped his pants at the end of that game. But he was good in the first half, the first half of the third quarter. He started to crap his pants at the end of the third quarter. And that's certainly not the first time that he's done it. But if he somehow, and they pull that upset off on Saturday, he's back in the NFC Championship game. In two of his three healthy years there, he would have gone to the Super Bowl and the conference title game.
To which I'll say good for him, too, because they want to move on from him. They draft this new kid when they're just a year removed from going to the Super Bowl.
Like, and what's his record as a starter again?
Oh, it's, I haven't done it recently, 36 and 15, I think.
Don't you need to just, like, look at an ass cheek?
I thought exactly it was tattooed on the inside of your...
I just have trouble keeping up with the win total.
It's just, there's something about, like, or he's just lucky. Like, maybe he's just freaking lucky. But the win-loss record is, I don't know, it's kind of hard to ignore.
Lucky. Pshaw.
Back to your calls on Agenda Free Friday after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You are a sorry lot. You are a sad, sorry lot.
98.5.
Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
They got to get up and clock the ball. 5, 4, 3, 2. Dak, will he get it off in time?
No.
With 1 second to go, did he spike the ball in time or not?
No, he did not.
He did not. The 49ers have won the game. What do you got, Alex Kemp? Did he spike it in time?
That's the end of the game.
Game is over. The 49ers have won. They're on their way to Lambeau.
Oh, my goodness.
It says Garoppolo, 36 and 15 is the record. 36 and 15.
Pretty good.
I mean, like, that record is just a little hard to ignore. Is he just freaking that lucky? He was lucky this last game, I'll give you that. But the way he finished and how Dallas, you know, just imploded. But I don't know. He must be doing something right.
Well, I think that he has the capability when you're behind to get hot. That's all I'll say about him in all seriousness. When they're about, because look, you need a guy who can put up big numbers when you need to pass. And he's capable of it. He's not consistent at it. But he's capable of it, like what he did against New Orleans. He bailed him out in a New Orleans game last year.
Yeah, for sure. But
2 years ago, whatever it was.
That pants crapping, though, is also real. Because that second half, it wasn't just the pick.
I agree.
The overthrow to Ayuk on that big third down. And then the QB sneak, because he was such a jittery fool, has the right tackle there set up incorrectly. And he screwed that all up. 5-yard penalty.
He couldn't hold his water on that play. That was the game. And he panicked on that one. So it's like, I guess this one, and I don't guess. No, this one he was lucky.
I mean, that pick was horrible. Mm. That was a panic throw. Mm. That's what that was. He absolutely freaking, as he was releasing that ball, he absolutely crapped in his shorts. He did. He right there, he did. I mean, you could see he was heavier when he walked off the field.
So, don't tell me the Packers are going to lose to that guy, but it is entirely possible. Back to your phones. We did some Bruins earlier. Justin Bellingham wants to circle back to that. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey, what's up, Felga? I just want to reiterate what you said earlier this week in terms of Pastrnak having soft hands. And I really paid attention to that last night and noticed about 90% of the time when he rushes with that puck, you're 100% correct. He loses at the blue line. Putting Taylor Hall with him improved his play. And they should, like you said, call him out on it and let Taylor Hall carry it up and dish it off.
If he could just clean that up from his game, he'd be elite, elite. I don't expect him to be great defensively. That's okay. The elite goal scorer doesn't have to be great in his own zone. I'm not asking for that. But the turnovers, the killer, it's just nonstop turnover machine. And the Lars Eller goal last night, again, I blame Ullmark for deflecting in a puck that was going to go 3 feet over the crossbar. That was just a brutal play by Ullmark. But it did start with another softy little David Pastrnak turnover in the neutral zone. He's just, it's just, it's incessant. It just doesn't stop. And so, like, I just think they have way too high of a tolerance for that from, you know, in his game. He scores twice last night. So, like, he still just, can you do that and not give the puck away? You know, just one time the thing. Or if you got a breakaway, fine. Do your dipsy-do when there's no one in front of you. There's no chance you're giving the puck away. Fine.
And his mistakes are avoidable.
Totally.
Right? It's certain things you say, well, you know, if you take the edge away from a guy's game, is he the same player? His mistakes are avoidable. They're just sloppy and stupid.
Owen and Worcester, your thoughts on the Bees?
Yeah, I just want to say I think Tuukka Rask and Ullmark are so overrated it's not even funny. And out of all three of those guys, Swayman is clearly the best. He's had games where they get outshot 10, 20 shots, and he keeps them in the game. Those guys cannot do that. Rask and Ullmark, they need the offense to control the whole flow of the game. And when it is the postseason, just forget about it.
So, look, you just got to hope that Swayman doesn't lose confidence or, you know, trust in the organization or whatever.
Feels burned by this. Right. Like that.
They've got to keep him on the hook somehow. They've got to keep him engaged and invested and bought in to the team and everything. Because the way they've sort of yanked him around could get to him. And that would suck if you lose him in all of this just to get a half season of Tuukka. Like, that would be frustrating to me.
Talk about a worst-case scenario.
And what if Tuukka wants to come back next year? Then what? Bury the kid in Providence again?
He won't.
You don't think?
No, and I bet you the Bruins wouldn't be amenable to it next year. Like, you know,
bent over backwards for him every other time.
Well, my guess is that, you know, they probably figured, well, again, Murray, so the goaltending's different, but what other choice did they have this year? They got no players coming through the system.
No, I mean, like, I get why they're doing it this year, I think. Last roundup, Bergeron's last year, they're going to be all being sort of invested and it's going to be, an emotional engagement and investment from these guys, and Tuukka plays into that. Like, okay, fine, I've come to accept it. If they got to bury Swayman for another year, that would be bad. Tom and Quincy, hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, Mike, earlier this week you were talking about the relevance of Brady and why some fans are still getting bent out of shape that he's winning and all that. So you asked how long is he going to be relevant. And my perspective on that, to give them some perspective on that, they're pissed because it's not even been two full seasons and he's winning. Red Sox fans talked about Babe Ruth for 56 years after he was dead. Not after he stopped playing for the team. The guy was dead in 1948, and they wrote books about it up until 2005. So for Patriots fans who are bitter, saying that you shouldn't be talking about Brady, think about the Red Sox fans that had to listen to 56 years of Babe Ruth.
Well, you know what, Tom? It ended when you won, right? The curse of the Bambino or whatever.
Yeah,
like
no,
that,
no, it went away.
That whole thing went away when you won.
Correct.
So is that what it's going to take here with the Patriots?
Yep.
Yeah, that it should.
That's
yeah.
what it's going to take. Brady left and they became a disaster. The only way that changes, because again, that was the fork in the road. Brady was the fork in the road. This is the path you chose. If it doesn't lead to winning, you will never live it down.
While he's playing, though, it is even worse because it's in your face and he could have been here. I mean, if there was talk radio in 1921 when Babe Ruth is hitting 60 home runs or whatever he did, I'm just making that number up, something like that.
It would have been ugly.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine the field day we would have had with that one?
Yeah. Shaughnessy's great-grandfather must have been a dick.
We got a telegram here. Says, believe in Red Sox. Stop. Ruth won't win anything. Glad he's gone. Stop. Oh, by the way, and I brought this up to you, too. Turns out Brady beat Ruth because it took Babe Ruth like 3 years to finally win a championship with the Yankees.
True.
Brady did it in year one.
Yeah, and maybe year two.
Yeah, Johnny Connecticut. Hi, John.
So two quick things. One on the fans that, you know, call in. I want to take credit away from Brady for going to the Buccaneers. Saying that he went to a loaded team to win. The fact is, before he went there, and that was even a discussion, people were laughing that he would actually even think about going to the Buccaneers being a losing franchise.
Yep.
So now they want, now that he wins, now they want to take the credit away. So that really annoys me. Second, earlier somebody called and told you guys that you guys wanted the team to underperform or whatnot, and I know that's not true, but one thing that you guys did want was that you wanted the seasons to be more exciting for you and something new.
That's true.
Which you definitely got now.
That's true.
And it also led to one of the dumbest and stupidest takes that you had, Felger, of Bill being able to win with Hoyer. And that actually started to make me think, were you actually the guy that Ian Connor was referencing when he said?
Yes, I might have well been. You could win with any of the top 15 quarterbacks in the league. Correct. The Hoyer take was a reach. Regrettable. Win some, lose some. That was a loss. My whole Belichick thing's been a loss. I trusted him. I was okay pushing Brady out the door, too, because I thought Bill would have him back in short order. And I was wrong. And the whole thing about people taking credit away from Brady going to a loaded team. Yes, they were a loaded team. With a bozo coach that had no idea how to win, he taught that team how to win. The talent was there, for sure. But they were running around in circles, and the coach is clueless. And Brady covered up for all of that. So he deserves no credit taken away from what he's done in Tampa.
I can't believe people still try to write that off. Like, he's won 7 of them.
Steven in North Conway. Go ahead, Steven, on this topic.
Okay, Maz, yesterday you had said that Mac Jones, what your eyes see, he's a rookie. What, did you say that about Brady when he was a rookie? Your eyes see, if you had said that about Brady when he was a rookie, you would say that he probably is not even going to make the practice squad. And Murray, Tom Brady's father once said that it's not going to end well. It happens this weekend. Rams win. See ya.
Yeah, great. So, he won last year, too.
I did not say that about Brady, by the way. I was on the Brady side of the Brady Bledsoe thing.
Yeah, and so was I. But did we say he was going to be a Hall of Fame all-time quarterback?
No, but again, we were in a different place then. Like, it was totally different. We had no clue how to win. None of us had a sniff of what to do back then.
It was hard to project he was going to be that.
No, of course not. No, but that's what I'm saying is like, no one would have even like thought that would never even come up.
Here's the greatest of all time. I just wanted Bledsoe out of there.
Yeah, look, he was smart, clutch, mistake-free. He was all those things.
And the ball came out quicker. Like, you could tell immediately there were little things that you liked him more than Bledsoe. But admit it, Patriots fans, those of us that wanted Brady, it was really we just didn't want Bledsoe back there anymore, holding on to the ball, patting the ball, and getting cracked in the face every time, taking 4 sacks a game.
Yeah, the big thing for me was the team responded. I really do look at it that, and I'm not saying that Brady wasn't better because he was. But the whole thing turned around with him. Like, you keep him in there.
It was a million years ago, and he's still playing and still winning. He's still here playing this weekend. That was a million years ago we're talking about.
Someone just sent an email that since 2011, he's 9-0 in the divisional.
Ay, ay, ay. Final segment of your wonderful phone calls and emails on an agenda-free Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
License apply.
Felger and Matt.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. Oh, yeah, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second and 9 now. This was picked. Intercepted by the Bucks.
I said what with the Bucks. I said what with the Bucks. You want to do me with the Bucks? With those Bucks? You can do me with the Bucks. Brady.
Brady throws. Pass caught. Evans, touchdown. Pass caught. Touchdown for Nets. Brady's going to take it. Touchdown.
I said what with the Bucks. I said what with the Bucks. You want to do me with the Bucks? With those Bucks? You can do me with the Bucks. Brady.
You know, really proud of our team and everything we put in to get to this point. So there's only 4 teams left. We're one of them. You know, guys really come together. It's a really unique team. And we have great chemistry. We have fun at practice. And we work really hard to get this point, just like the other 3 teams remaining.
For those of you who have a hard time swallowing Murray's productions on Brady, the trolling Brady productions, you got Go Rams. It all goes away.
Yep.
It all goes away. we can sort of put a final analysis on it, and it really dies down. If he wins, it's Murray's back in the lab next week if they win, man.
He's every day.
Back in the studio.
With mad scientist.
New material coming if there's a Buccaneers win on Sunday.
Volume 2. Murray's going to be like the Beatles. You need the red album and the blue album.
Okay. Lightning round of calls. Then we do emails. So it's like that. Here's Richie on Cape Cod on Brady. Go ahead, Richie.
Yeah, two things. Okay. Felger, who wears the pants on the family?
The Wood.
The Wood.
Yes.
Okay. Maz.
Yeah.
Murray, who wears the pants in your family?
My wife.
My wife.
Okay. Who wears the pants in Brady's family?
Giselle.
Guerrero.
Okay. Now, who do you think made the decision on the whole thing of him not coming back?
Brady.
Giselle.
Brady.
Giselle.
I mean, she was in his ear.
Alex.
She changed him. I'll grant you this. She helped change him. Because there was a time, a long period of time, where Brady didn't care about his brand. Football over brand. He was the Peyton Manning was the brand guy.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, you go do your commercials, Peyton. We're gonna win football games. And that went on for 10, 15 years. And now Brady's Mr. Brand. Like, he's, boy, what a reversal from a guy that did very few commercials, downplayed his brand, wanted nothing to do with any of those trappings, to what he is now. Like, wow.
Yeah, that was super G.
Yeah.
She's responsible for that.
No question.
So giving him a different worldview, maybe giving him more fortitude, if you will. But Brady's decision was Brady's decision. Sorry. He, you know, even if she was in his ear saying go to Tampa, he still asked the Patriots for a contract at the very end.
Yeah, the right answer to that question is why did Brady leave, or who chose why?
Bill.
Right.
Bill's the reason.
Bill made the choice.
Brady was going to stay if you gave him $25 million a year. He just wanted the contract, and you didn't want to give it to him. So
here, New England, L.A., she just wants him to stop playing football.
Yeah, that's
what she wants.
Probably
she
more than
wanted
anything.
Out of here, though. That was a big thing.
Well, yeah.
Town, please. She wouldn't wipe her ass with this town.
Michelle in Rockland. Go ahead, Michelle.
Can I say that?
It still burns my ass that Belichick got rid of Brady. I give the Italian horns every time the Patriots play. I go, please, throw a pick, lose. When I hope Brady, you know, I have a heart attack every time watching the games. Please, Brady, win another one, please. Just so it can really burn his ass, Belichick's ass on that.
Michelle, great call. What's the horns called, Mass?
The Malocchio.
There you go.
Evil eye.
There it is.
Yep. You got to wear a little thing like this to protect yourself from it. The horn.
Is that right?
Yeah, my son gave me this for Christmas.
And that's to ward off the Malocchio?
Oh, yeah. No.
I got a tattooed on me somewhere.
Yeah, the Italian horn is to ward off the evil eye.
Right there.
Wow. Yeah. But that looks like something else, actually, Murray. I don't want to get into that.
I'm working with you two jackhammers every day. I got to ward it off.
Bo and Saugus on the Bruins. Go ahead, Bo.
Hey, just can we talk about the fact that the Bruins don't have a stand-up guy to keep the skilled players from getting mashed every night?
Yep.
And you look at the division, Patrick Maroon, Tom Wilson, Ryan Reeves isn't really a hockey player. But, you know, just up and down the division,
well,
Cassidy has not wanted to keep a player like that on his roster.
Conference.
And, you know, Wilson was running around with his elbow up. The bleed hit was clean, but the halfway hit was not. And I just feel like, as you get into the playoffs, it's more of a need.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. Is that Cassidy or Sweeney? I mean,
it could be both.
I mean, so blame who you want. Neely, Sweeney, Cassidy, whatever, some combination.
I mean, Cassidy's definitely a play with speed and skill kind of guy.
Definitely. Definitely. And don't we want them to be that?
Yes.
Like,
or more of that.
You know, as opposed to the big, bad Bruins, like when that's not the league anymore. So, like, it was a needed evolution, really. It was. But do they have to take it this far? I mean, because they are exceedingly, I don't want to say exceedingly soft, because they can play, they can be hard against, but in this element, the protection piece to it, the enforcer piece to it, they have nothing.
Yeah. I mean, they could use a big guy who could play a little. Like, you know.
I mean, it's really Frederick, but he really can't play.
Oh, no, he's not. He's not good enough.
Hakeem in Malden's been waiting patiently on the Celtics. Hi, Hakeem.
Hey, fellas. Yes. No. What do you think of this? I was saying we get rid of, because I'm tired of the Pritchard, Grant Williams thing, and get like a player like Jeff Green. It does not cost too much money. He helps with the defense and a second team and can create. Pick up DeMarcus Cousins off a 10-day somewhere down the line, so that way he helps pull out the centers on the second team. He can shoot, and that way everybody can drive in.
Hakeem, you really think like this is the issue on the team?
The bench?
Like, I mean, their bench is putrid, but their starting five sucks. Like, I mean, that's like they don't even. There's so many games where their starters and their prime rotation players are losing the game before you even get to the bench. Not, you know, they're just not a factor. They're losing the games with their best players, not their worst players. That's what I'm trying to say.
Their high-end talent isn't playing well enough. And I would also say the other problem they have is their culture. And when I say the culture, I'm talking on the floor as well as off. Does it feel like they play team basketball consistently?
And not just that. They don't play hard. This last game, this Charlotte game, you see how hard that the Hornets played and how Rozier attacked and Ball attacked.
Yeah, Ball attacks.
Attacks
like
that Bridges plays hard. And you could tell that Hornets team had a hair across its ass. So, you know, Rozier and Hayward. I think Hayward's a waste. Useless. But you could tell that game really meant something to Terry Rozier. Kelly Oubre thinks he's much better than he is, but he plays with this edge.
He's a good pest.
Like, but that whole team.
He hasn't been his whole career.
That whole team really, like, went at you. They went at you. And the Celtics are just kind of there. They're just kind of there. And, like, that's even before you get into the bench issues or anything. So, like, I'm with Maz. There's just something wrong with the culture, the tone of the team. Has been for a while. David in Rhode Island. Go ahead, David.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking the call. So, I do believe Tom Brady will win. So, you know, I know he doesn't have Brown, he doesn't have what's his name, but when you look at Brady's career, how many times did he lose to the same team twice in 1 year? The fact that they lost to the Rams earlier, it's a benefit for him.
The numbers on that aren't great. I think Brady's, like the Patriots, are 50-50 in games they've lost to the team in the regular season. There's plenty of examples of them losing to a team in the regular season and losing to them again. The Giants in one of those Super Bowl years, 2011, they lost to the Giants here in the regular season, right?
Yep.
And then they lost to them in the Super Bowl. The year that they lost to the Jets in the playoffs, which is the last time Brady lost in the divisional round, which tells you something. That was freaking over a decade ago. They split with the Jets that year, so it's not always a guarantee. What was I going to say about that? I just like Brady in that game, period. He's not going to lose to Matthew Stafford. And he does know what the Rams do again. Like, he has familiarity with that team.
Yeah, they played him these last couple of seasons.
And never mind the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. I know that Phillips isn't there anymore, but I don't know.
The only concern there is health, particularly on the line. That's it. If they block for him, he'll win.
Steve in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
Hey, Giselle Brady, of course, is the epitome of top echelon of an athlete, dedication, skills, the whole bit. As far as a business person, he's got to thank the hell out of Giselle because she's a super businesswoman. And that goes back to his contracts where he'd give up money to keep players around, going back to our Branch.
Yes.
And, you know, he'd give up the dough and the play wouldn't stay.
Yes. And when Giselle got wind of this, she said, what do you mean the money in your contract's not guaranteed? I don't understand that concept. What does that mean? And don't do that again. And you're the best player on the team. You're the best player in the league. And you're giving them back money? Explain that to me again, Chachi. So, like, I think she's the one that put an end to all that.
Oh, definitely. She looked at him and said, you're selling yourself way too short. That team's not winning because of him. They're winning because of you.
And as a supermodel, like, that's how they are. Like, they're the man.
And she was right.
She was right. Yeah. She was right. Let's do an email, shall we?
Yeah, okay.
It's the Momcast Email of the Day!
Packers lose, Felga.
Dear Felga, I really hate you.
Tired of you, Felga.
And I think Maz is a boob.
The Momcast Email of the Day! Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Email day is protected by Mimecast. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast.com. M-I-M-E. M as in Michael. So Murray last night goes to the Bruins game, sits in the company box, and who on the very next side of the glass, the next box over, where Murray could have pounded on the glass and said hello was the Patriots starting quarterback, McCorkle Jones. And so you said they showed him on the big board there, Murray?
Yeah, he was with David Andrews and Hunter Henry and their gals.
And so you're sitting there, and you were sending us pictures of him in the box next to you.
Well, that was my buddy who took the photos. I didn't want to be accused of being a creep, because I wouldn't do that. I find it very uncomfortable. And my friend is the one pulling out his phone like a teen girl, like, yeah, there's Mac. I'm like, what are you doing? You're here as a guest. But I was like, give me that so I can send it to the guys.
And you never walked over there and said, hey.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Email the Dame, subject line, shame on you, Murray. So let me see if I understood you guys correctly. Your very own Big Jim Murray had an opportunity to introduce himself, meaning a member of the 98.5 The Sports Hub Media, to New England's newest quarterback. The funny man himself missed a golden opportunity to introduce himself and stuff to Mr. Mac Jones and get him to potentially interview on the show and talk about junk and stuff. For shame, cat boy. For shame, says Chris in New Hampshire.
First of all, he has a paid interview he does weekly on our competitor, so he's not going to do that.
He doesn't know the parameters or the rules. You trick him once, and then they tell him he can't do that again, and then we don't get him again. But you
definitely trick him. I'm not that. This isn't me. Don't put this on me. I wasn't going to. I would never do that. I would never knock on some strange luxury bar.
No, you just walk in there.
Hi.
Walk in there like you own the joint.
I'm not. That's not me.
Yeah, hi, Mac. I'm Big Jim.
And then Murray sends a picture of Mac Jones with the mascot with blades. I'm like, oh, Murray's over there taking pictures of him with the mascot.
The Bruins did that.
And I was disappointed to find out it was just a tweet or something.
As it was.
I work with Felgen and Mass.
As it was, I was like getting hot in the face and getting douche chills because one of our salespeople, every time David Andrews like put his head out, going like, yeah, dogs. How about the dogs? Like, we know he went to UGA and Georgia just won, dude. Like, he's not going to come over here. We're like, enough. Just everyone calm down. We see the Patriots.
Murray played it cool.
Next time, Murray.
Yeah.
Next time we go over there.
Final, I don't know who the sales guy was.
Final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody. Nope.
All right. We don't have a Mad Mike. We don't have a Squeaky Maz. We have the return of Bitchy Bedard.
Oh.
And boy, well, he really was earlier this week with his appearance on a Big Boy Tuesday. This is all put together by Hardy.
Elite guys are here and are standing at this time of year. And then there's always a couple of outliers like Tannehill or Garoppolo. Can the Patriots win at a high level? What?
I was just going to say, you mean the Jimmy Garoppolo who nearly won a Super Bowl?
Yeah, but
I mean, you're talking about him like he's trash, like the their
team's
trash.
No, he's just not an elite guy. I mean, come on, he's not an elite guy. So the Patriots are closer to the non-elite teams that leak in every year.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you getting all pissy about this?
Just go on with your question.
Can they survive being on that end of the spectrum?
Yes. It's just going to have to be a team concept. The Patriots have always won with a team concept, so I don't think the formula changes. As long as they stick with the same formula, I think Mac Jones.
They didn't win with the greatest quarterback in the history of the
That's not why they won Super Bowl titles, not because of we're going to go through this crap again? Can you let me answer? I'm giving you my answer. Okay? The Patriots have always won because of a team concept. The defense has been good enough. Oftentimes, it's been better than the offense. Sometimes, the special teams have been pretty good. It's got to be a marriage of the three phases. And do I think Mac Jones is capable of winning a Super Bowl title? I think so. I don't know so right now. He's only a rookie. But yes, I think so.
Without you getting all bent out of shape about this, would you not say that that having one of those elite guys gives you more margin for error on those other pieces.
Sure.
I don't know why this angers you.
It's a stupid question. It is.
It's definitely not a stupid question.
Can we move on, please?
No, no, I am. I'm talking about this weekend.
Because you don't want to hear my answer.
No,
this is why I always get frustrated. No, you don't. You hear my answer. You give me no respect. You don't want to hear it.
We can continue the conversation.
Yep.
Okay.
I look forward to it greatly.
Can the Patriots win at a high level? What?
Oh, nuts. You know, I don't know if it went through, so I sent this an email chain yesterday, but I don't think it went through. My wife's mother emailed her and said, hey, so I watched Felger and Maz yesterday. They showed a clip of Tuesday. Gosh, that Bedard guy went on a mean rant. Looks like he's lost some weight. Sometimes people are happier with the weight, maybe?
That was your mother-in-law.
Yes.
I mean, sometimes. No, always happier with the weight.
Definitely hangry. Snack time. All right, anyway, well, that's going to do it for us. We've got Celtics coverage tonight. They got the Blazers here in town. You'll get a hour of Jones, probably something like that. Do we have any games this weekend? Well, Bruins. We haven't done the football, do we?
Yeah, and then I don't think we're running any of those games.
All right. Well, either way, we'll be damn sure talking about them on Monday. You better hope the Rams win. That's all I'm saying, folks out there. You don't want to.
Otherwise, get ready for all new songs.
Yeah, Brady Garoppolo.
Here comes
the NFC title game.
Okay, and it's not getting any better now because here comes Jones. But either way, have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you Monday at 2.
Bye. See ya.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.